Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're looking at something really fascinating, a single verse, Psalm 119.110. And our source, the Faith Beams GP podcast, has this interpretation that, well, it kind of flips the common understanding on its head.
It really does. It's this idea that life isn't just for, you know, personal pleasure, but for purposeful obedience.
Exactly. Be good to your servant while I live, that I may obey your word. It sounds simple, but there's depth there.
And that's what we're aiming for today, right? Yeah. To unpack that, we want to dig into how this view changes things like goodness, spiritual cleansing.
And purpose itself.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Get ready for some, well, hopefully some aha moments, because it's really practical stuff.
Okay, let's get right into it. That core verse, Psalm 119.110. My first instinct, honestly, is to hear it as, Lord, make things good for me so I can serve you better. Like, give me the good stuff first.
Right. Almost conditional.
Yeah.
But the four suggests it's actually coming from a place of deep humility, total dependence.
So not give me comfort so I can obey, but
more like, Lord, just keep me alive. Sustain me so that I have the chance to obey you. Life itself is the gift for obedience.
That's a massive reframe. Life as the means, not the end goal itself.
Exactly. And that's where the source brings in this idea of spiritual cleansing.
Okay, how does that connect? Because cleansing usually makes me think of, you know, wiping away sin or something ritualistic.
Yeah, but here, the podcast suggests the cleansing starts with that fundamental shift in perspective. Seeing your very existence day to day as this sacred space for obedience.
Especially when things are tough.
Especially then. You know, with all the uncertainty, the violence, the economic stress, the mental health struggles we see, the source argues that the core prayer becomes, Lord, sustain me so I can honor you through this.
Wow. So the cleansing isn't about getting rid of the bad stuff necessarily, but about the presence of that purpose despite the bad stuff.
You got it. It's purification through purpose, right in the middle of life's messiness.
Okay, that brings up a question then. What is this goodness the verse talks about? Be good to your servant. If it's not just blessings or an easy life, what is it?
That's key. The source is clear. This goodness is much deeper than just, you know, material things going well. It's God's enduring mercy. It's what keeps us going moment by moment.
Like just the fact that we're still here.
Exactly. They reference Lamentations 3. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. Great is your faithfulness. It's that fundamental preservation, that sustaining power, even when everything else feels like it's falling apart.
So the goodness is the fact of life itself, sustained by mercy.
Right. And the source says spiritual cleansing begins when you cultivate gratitude for that specific goodness. Not for what you get, but for the sheer fact that you are and can still choose obedience. It purifies your motives, you see.
Yeah, it moves away from that transactional, what's in it for me mindset.
Completely.
Which really challenges our typical motivations, doesn't it? We often chase wealth, pleasure, success. It's very self-focused.
Understandably so, in many ways.
Yeah. But this makes you stop and think, okay, what really drives my desire to keep going? Is it just about me achieving things or feeling good? Or is there something else?
And the source, Faith Beams, presents that something else. It argues the Bible consistently points us towards living for obedience to God's word, not for ourselves.
Like Philippians 1.21.
Exactly. For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. That's not just a nice phrase. The source sees it as a fundamental reorientation, shifting your life's compass from pointing inward to pointing outward toward God's purpose.
And that shift is where real meaning is found, according to them.
Yes, because it connects you to something bigger, something eternal, beyond just your own fleeting desires or circumstances.
Okay, but let's be real. For a lot of people, obedience can sound, well, heavy, like a duty, a burden. How does this perspective make it feel like a richer existence instead of just following rules?
That's a fair question.
And how does it hold up when facing, you know, the massive challenges we see today? Global crises, personal struggles, where just getting through the day feels like enough.
Right. And the source addresses that head on. It uses really practical, kind of raw examples. It argues this isn't a peacetime philosophy. It's forged in hardship.
Like what?
Okay, so think about natural disasters. The podcast mentions families, say, in the Caribbean or the U.S. after a hurricane. Their prayer for God's goodness isn't just for a new roof. It's for the strength to obey him through the rebuilding, to show faith in the devastation.
Finding purpose right there in the rubble.
Exactly. Or consider wars in Europe. They mentioned families, maybe in Ukraine, praying Psalm 119 in shelters. The prayer isn't just keep me safe, but Lord, let me live another day to testify of your word, even here, especially here.
Wow.
And with economic hardship, it's praying not just for more money, but for the strength to live faithfully, with integrity when things are tight, to trust God in the lack. Mm-hmm. And even with the mental health crisis, God's goodness is seen as what sustains a weary heart, giving just enough strength to choose obedience, to hold on to faith despite the internal battle.
So the obedience itself during the trial is the cleansing.
That's how the source describes it. It clears out the selfish focus, the why me, and redirects you to this larger mission, which paradoxically brings clarity and meaning even in chaos.
That's powerful. You mentioned finding purpose in the rubble. It feels counterintuitive. Are there more specific personal stories from the source? Like, how does this actually look in someone's life, maybe in different parts of the world?
Absolutely. The source shares some really moving examples that show this isn't just abstract theology.
Yeah.
For instance, from Brazil, there's a story of a mother. Her main prayer, day in and day out, is simply for life, so she can keep teaching her kids God's word. Her whole existence is framed by that obedience.
Her purpose defines her prayer for life.
Yeah, exactly. Then there's a farmer in Kenya. After a drought, he apparently vowed, "If rain comes, I'll use the harvest to bless my village," obeying God. It wasn't just about his own gain.
Sharing the goodness received.
Right. And from the Caribbean, Trinidad and Tobago, they mentioned storm survivors who spoke about rejoicing simply in being alive afterward and dedicating their renewed days to rebuilding with faith, serving the community. The rebuilding itself became an act of obedience. Oh. In India, a student facing huge pressures prays not just for good grades, but for the life and strength to stay obedient, pure, faithful amidst it all.
It's about the how, not just the what.
Precisely. Mm. And then there are really personal testimonies. A widow in Guyana finding purpose in serving others after God sustained her through loneliness. A young man in Nigeria, near despair, praying Psalm 119.17 and finding new life not from his problems, but in choosing obedience within them.
Wow.
Or a family in Puerto Rico after a hurricane, seeing God's goodness in their fresh start and their response. They started a prayer group. Direct communal obedience.
These stories really drive it home. It's not about getting life for yourself, but using the life you're given for obedience.
That's the core message the source emphasizes through these examples.
So for listeners who are connecting with this, who think, okay, this resonates, what are the practical takeaways? How do we actually do this? What steps does the source suggest for this kind of spiritual cleansing through obedience?
The Faith Means podcast lays out three really clear, actionable steps, things you can start doing, like today.
Okay, clear.
First, daily prayer. Start today consciously with that prayer. Lord, be good to me today that I may obey you. Good. Setting that specific intention.
Right. Framing the day.
Second, a gratitude journal. But specifically focusing on God's sustaining goodness. Write down maybe three ways you saw his mercy keeping you going. The source says this actively cleanses the mind from negativity and self-pity.
Focusing on the foundation, the mercy that allows life.
Exactly. And third, an obedience tracker. This isn't legalism. It's about mindfulness. Just note one specific way, however small, you chose to follow God's word that day. A kind word, resisting temptation, an act of service.
Oh, making it conscious.
Yeah, it builds that awareness and reinforces the habit of intentional obedience.
Those sound practical, definitely. But back to that potential feeling of restriction, how does the source connect these practices, this whole philosophy, to actual fulfillment? How does it become richer and not just dutiful?
Yeah, that's the crucial link. The source concludes that a life without this purposeful obedience, one just chasing self-interest, ultimately feels empty. It lacks that deeper, lasting meaning.
Because the things we chase can't ultimately satisfy.
Right. But a life lived with this intentional obedience, aligning yourself with God's purpose, that's described as cleansing, refreshing, truly meaningful. They quote John 15.10, "If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love."
So it's about connection, belonging.
Yes, and transformation. When you live this way, even the hardships aren't just things to endure. They become opportunities to experience God's sustaining goodness, to glorify him, and to find a meaning that goes way beyond your circumstances. That's the richness.
What a perspective shift. So wrapping up this deep dive on Psalm 119.1c then, through the lens of the Faith Beams GB podcast, the core insight really seems to be that spiritual cleansing flows from embracing life as a gift for obedience.
Mm-hmm. It's moving from what can life do for me to what can I do with this life for God?
A fundamental reorientation.
And that leaves us, and you listening, with a really significant question to mull over, building on the source material. If life's ultimate purpose is this kind of obedience, how does consciously reframing everything, your daily struggles, your choices, your hopes, through that lens, change your definition of success?
Or well-being.
Or even just your place in the world.
Exactly. What new possibilities open up when your days are committed not just to yourself, but to this higher, outward-focused purpose?
Definitely something profound to think about. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive. We hope you'll continue pondering these ideas. Until next time.